In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen. On this night, when darkness is overcome by light and a new creation is begun, let us consider well the words of St. John Chrysostom's Paschal Homily. If any man be devout and loves God, let him enjoy this fair and radiant triumphal feast. If any man be a wise servant, let him rejoicing enter into the joy of the Lord. If any have labored long in fasting, let him now receive his recompense. If any have wrought from the first hour, let him today receive his just reward. If any have come at the third hour, let him with thankfulness keep the feast. If any have arrived at the sixth hour, let him have no misgivings, because he shall in no wise be deprived thereof. If any have delayed until the ninth hour, let him draw near, fearing nothing. If any have tarried even until the 11th hour, let him also not be ashamed of his tardiness. For the Lord, who is jealous of his honor, will accept the last even as the first. He gives rest unto him who comes at the 11th hour, even as unto him who is wrought from the first hour. And he shows mercy upon the last and cares for the first. And to the one he gives, and to the other he bestows gifts. And to both he accepts the deeds and welcomes the intention and honors the acts and praises the offering. Wherefore, enter you all into the joy of the Lord. Receive your reward, both the first and likewise the second. You rich and poor together, hold high festival. You sober and you heedless, honor the day. Rejoice today, both you who have fasted and you who have disregarded the fast. The table is full laden. Feast you all sumptuously. The calf is fatted. Let no one go away hungry. Enjoy you all the feast of the faith. Receive you all the riches of loving kindness. Let no one bewail his poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one weep for his iniquities, for pardon has shone forth from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. He that was held prisoner of it has annihilated it. By descending into hell, he made hell captive. He embittered it when it tasted of his flesh. And Isaiah, foretelling this, did cry, "Hell," he said, "was embittered when it encountered you in the lower regions. It was embittered, for it was abolished. It was embittered, for it was mocked. It was embittered, for it was slain. It was embittered, for it was overthrown. It was embittered, for it was fettered in chains. It took a body, and it met God. It took earth, and encountered heaven. It took that which was seen, and it fell upon the unseen. O death, where is your sting? O victory, O hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen, and you are overthrown. Christ is risen, and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life reigns. Christ is risen, and not one dead remains in the grave. For Christ, being risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and dominion unto ages of ages. Amen." The truth of Easter is the triumph of God over his enemies, over our enemies, namely sin, death, and the forces of evil. This truth is not a philosophical idea. It is not a poetic fairy tale. It is not merely a doctrine to be set alongside other doctrines in order to form a complete religion that we can subscribe to in order to make us feel complete or correct or, God forbid, comfortable. The truth of Easter has changed the entire world and cannot be undone. It is binding. It is finished. From the moment Jesus spoke those words on the cross and gave up his soul, human death was forever changed. There once was a place, if we can call it a place, it was probably more like some vague, shadowy mode of existence, in which our first father and mother, Adam and Eve, found themselves after they died. They died because they listened to and were deceived by a serpentine liar, the father of lies, in fact, and they disobeyed the one commandment that God had given them. Their disobedience separated them from God, meaning that they shifted their very existence away from the one who could sustain their existence. And so death entered their nature. When they found themselves torn in two, soul from body, they also found that ancient serpent had made himself the gatekeeper of that shadowy place and the master of that beast whose jaws we call death. And every son of Adam and daughter of Eve from then on likewise sinned, and all likewise tasted death, save one. There was once a daughter of Eve who had a son, which was not a son of Adam. The son of Mary was instead the son of God, who had chosen to become incarnate in the fullness of time. He became like us in every way, except that he did not sin. So when he encountered death, it was voluntary, entering those jaws not as a victim, but as a victor. Death, not realizing that in swallowing this man, it had just allowed itself to be swallowed by God, was ransacked from within. The gates were broken down, and the gatekeeper, the devil himself, was bound. The place of darkness was overcome with the light of God. The light shines in the darkness, says the Apostle John. And then some translations say that the darkness did not comprehend it, and some say that the darkness did not overcome it. The darkness neither comprehended nor overcame it. Because this happened long ago, I know that since it involves ancient ancestors and occurs in this realm of death that we can't see, I realize that sometimes it's possible that this may just seem a little bit unreal to us, maybe a bit irrelevant, if not at least a bit distant. But death is not irrelevant to any one of us. Death, which is never so very distant, and which may come in any moment for any of us, instantaneously unites us with thousands of generations of ancestors and reveals that hidden realm. What's different about death now is that its jaws have no venom. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Now death's gates are broken and shattered. Where, O hell, is now thy victory? Now that shadowy place is populated only by those who rejected the light that has shone so brightly in it. Its pitiful gates are only locked, as they say, from the inside. Those who have chosen the light and have faith in Jesus are in the newly opened paradise. The penitent thief, all the righteous souls who were once in prison, and Adam and Eve. What Christ did to death is real, and it matters to all of us. All of us sons of Adam and daughters of Eve who must enter death. The difference Christ's death has made means that we have a question set before us. Will we enter death as victims, like before, or as victors, like Christ? How could we enter death like victors, we sinners who are not God? Well, we transform our death into Christ's death, first through baptism, being buried with Christ in the cleansing water, then by living a life of repentance, continually offering ourselves to God, and as Christ said, picking up our cross and carrying it, so that we carry it straight into death with us, just like Christ in this icon, carrying the cross, the image, the instrument of the death of death. By bearing the weapon of the cross into death, we are admitted to paradise. But even if all of this is still too difficult to hold on to, still too far away or removed to pierce our hearts or to unlock our minds, the harrower of hell reemerged from the other side of death and re-entered history on a Sunday morning in the springtime in Jerusalem. The resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth is a historical event. Eyewitnesses have given their testimony. There's an empty tomb. There's nothing shadowy or hard to grasp about showing wounded hands and feet, or eating broiled fish, or walking on a beach. What we are celebrating tonight is both the reality of what our Lord did in death and his bringing that to bear on the life that we live now. We celebrate his victorious death and his glorious resurrection. As we sang on Good Friday, we venerate thy cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify thy holy resurrection. It's the resurrection of Christ that gives us confidence to die like him and with him, because we know that we also will share in his resurrection ourselves. When the whole creation is remade, and there be a new heaven and a new earth, and all the ages of ages to follow, in that world without end, we will grow from glory unto glory, always glorifying him who is our life. Christ is risen and life reigns. Christ is risen and not one dead remains in the grave. For Christ, being risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and dominion unto ages of ages. Amen.